Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Verse 20, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The message this morning, we're taking a break out of our series. We've been in the book of Acts, building His church. We're going to address a message this morning on thanksgiving. Let me read for us. I want to begin reading in verse number 18 of Ephesians 5. Bring up some of the context. And then go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please follow Ephesians 5 verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled or be controlled or be being controlled by the Holy Spirit. While speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, while singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, while giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father in heaven, in the stillness of the moments here in this sanctuary, we acknowledge that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You are, as our Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for the songs of worship and praise that we can lift our voices and give to you in acknowledgement of your greatness and your grandeur and your goodness. And thank you, Lord, that we can gather together now, hear the preaching, teaching of the Holy Word of God, your revelation to us, the inspired, holy scriptures. Give us ears to hear, my Father. Give us hearts to learn. Give us wills to do. Cause us, oh my Father, to be attentive. And I pray that we would not just be hearers of the word, we would be doers. And Lord, doers, being thankful. We live in a day and age, well, we've been in the end times for a while, Father, but it seems like unappreciation, lack of appreciation, ungratefulness, unthankfulness seems to be all around us. Oh God, I pray that we as believers would ever be grateful and thankful, ever appreciative, most of all for the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ that makes it even possible. So, Lord, if there are any sitting here today, any watching, hearing us through the live stream who are not yet born again, who would not be able to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, would you work in those hearts this morning, helping them to see that you love them and you care for them and you sent Jesus Christ to die in their place to save their souls from hell? So would you please save today? I pray for believers, Lord, that we would ever be and always be for all things and in all things thankful. And we want to thank you that we can worship freely and openly in this nation. Lord, I would ask and pray that you would protect our freedoms. We uphold and uplift each of those in office, those who are elected, appointed, serving in government positions. Oh, I pray that you would help them to do what is right, do what is correct. Oh, Lord, preserve our freedoms. And then we pray for Israel and ask that you would turn them to yourself, O God. And I pray that they would realize Messiah has come. It is, and he is, Jesus Christ. That you would turn them unto yourself through him. So all of this we commit to you, and all this we pray as we ask it in Jesus' precious, holy, powerful name. Amen. So in this coming Thursday, we will once again celebrate and recognize this national holiday that is called Thanksgiving. This is one day in American tradition, and it's inserted in your bulletin. It's on the screen for you. You can see how exactly did this come about when it came to the celebration of this one day, which is now the last Thursday of the month of November. It's traced back to our early settlers. By the way, let it be remembered that America, in large degree, in all the founding documents and all the founding, was in large degree a Christian nation. It was not some oppressive white European settler type of thing. It was actually a place where people of all nationalities came in order to enjoy religious freedom. Yeah. If you settled in Rhode Island through Roger Williams and his people, it was mainly Baptist. If you settled in Pennsylvania with William Penn, large degree, part of the Quakers. On I could go at different portions and places of the original colonies where people came so they could not only know freedom from the tyrannical reign of the crown in England, but they could also express religious freedom. And we're here today in large degree because we are a free people. Number one, Thanksgiving, amen. Number one. We should be so thankful. Well, over the course of time, the initial significance of this holiday has diminished. With everything God has given and the abundance this nation affords, being thankful must still be the reason why we celebrate. It's interesting where Black Friday has now crept into Thanksgiving Day, right? Football games, now there's, I think, 4 national football games. I think. There's high school football games. There's college football games. There's traveling. AAA estimates that the most heavily trafficked holiday or for traffic is Thanksgiving holiday. It's festivities. Families get together. And we eat turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and all those good things. And if you take a deep breath right now, through the nose, you might even smell some of that which is baking and cooking downstairs. All that being set aside, God certainly delights in his people being thankful, even when others may not. So the challenge from the message this morning from these two verses is ever be thankful to God for and in everything. How do we see that? Two ways. I think number one, we see the scriptural explanation. So you're in Ephesians chapter 5, should be verse number 20 in your outline. Once again, reading, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a verse of scripture. Let's unpackage that. First of all, thanksgiving is an expression of grateful appreciation. Where do we see that? Giving thanks. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. There's a term that is used for thanks, give thanks. It appears some 114 times throughout the entire Old Testament. And there may be derivatives and there may be other ways in which it is used or even in the form of it. But usually the Hebrew language has the 3 consonants that form the root. Well, the root itself pictures an open hand that throws or lifts praise or confession toward its object. So it's the idea, not like this, but it's the idea of open palms extended, and lifting our praise, throwing our thanksgiving, our blessing upon whom? God. And that's the portrait that's presented here. Hebrew language is very picturesque. The hand actually portrays a public declaration, whether it's expressed in worship, held over a sacrifice, or extended towards someone else. That's what the hand carries with it in the picture and the meaning of it. It does convey the idea of a joyful expression of thanks and a humble confession. The word is not used in silence. It is used as a public declaration. When we sing the songs that we do collectively together in this church, it is a public expression of our praise to God. We are lifting our voices unto Him. And in the Hebrew culture, which was also not just a very picturesque language, but it was also a very demonstrative people, they would use their hands and animate it. If you're Italian, anybody Italian, you speak with your hands, you know? Well, the Hebrew people, they would often be able to demonstrate in their praise with uplifted hands. In the New Testament, the word thanksgiving or give thanks, it is very familiar if you came from a certain background, Eucharisto. And if you were of a Catholic background, you learned about the Eucharist, the time of thanks. That's really what it is. But it is not just some passing emotion or some polite acknowledgement. A sincere expression of the heart is what it is. How many of you growing up, your parents had to remind you, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. And oftentimes we would say the words, but sometimes, many times, it was detached from the meaning of our hearts. I remember as a kid, my mother would repeatedly, what do you say? Oh, thank you. Kind of like a very polite expression. Well, the word thanksgiving in the meaning of the scripture is beyond that. It's actually a compound word, and it literally translates into good grace, including the root word care or car, which gives us the idea of grace, charis, favor, and the prefix you, not Y-O-U, but it means acknowledging good or right or well. So you put that together and it means acknowledging that God's grace works well. So when you are saying thank you, you are acknowledging to God that His favor, His grace, His working is for good and is for right and is beneficial. Because God is a perfect God. God never does anything that is imperfect. Now, this action, by the way, going back to the Ephesians 5 passage, and I took liberty to read, why, O giving thanks? Because this action of giving thanks is happening simultaneously with the main verb here, which is be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that leads me to say, when it comes to this expression, it is not just some humanly generated or produced result. Rather, it is a spiritual response to God. And so when you look at this idea of giving thanks, it really is an expression of appreciation. Now hold that as we go to the next point. And that is number two, thanksgiving is a proclamation of worshipful praise. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. By the way, throughout the Psalms, if you want to get back to the Old Testament, the true God of Israel receives humble, grateful appreciation as Israel's personal promise-keeping God. So when they were giving thanks, they were acknowledging that their God, Yahweh, was at work on their behalf, and that He was their promise-keeping, personally relating God. Look at Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. be thankful to him and bless his name. So the element of worship is connected together with thanksgiving because it's directed to God. In the New Testament, the verb Eucharisto, that appears like 36 times just in the verb form, and almost exclusively with God as the one being thanked. The Luke 18 passage, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's where the leper comes back, and he thanks Jesus Christ. Did you ever think that thanksgiving really is, even when you're thanking others, like what Paul does, and I've used this in the introduction in the many different epistles we've been reading, where Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for you. You know something? He is thankful for them, but he is thankful to God for them. So the thanksgiving is an expression of God being at work, of God being personal, of God being involved in your life, of God manifesting himself to you, God showing you who he is, God answering your prayers. Unto God, he is the giver. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. By the way, the very first place of worship to God and for what we are thankful ought to be, even as Jim prayed to open the service, so thankful for salvation. There is no other God, there is no other idol, there is no other religion, there is no other person who can provide you with a deliverance from your sin, with a rescue of your soul, and a removal of the condemnation of hell than God. Think about that for a moment. I really do feel badly for those who may be in churches today or houses of worship or places where they go to do their religious duty to a God, and it's empty and it's vain. It's unscriptural. It's not even acceptable to God. Now you say, Pastor, you're really being judgmental. No, I'm actually being biblical. Do you remember when Cain and Abel offered their sacrifices to God? God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no. Why? Because it was inappropriate. It was unacceptable. Abel brought a blood sacrifice because that was the only way in which there was a recognition and an appreciation for God's provision for salvation from sin. It was a foreshadowing of the coming of the one full, complete sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're sitting here this morning or you're watching us through live stream and you're not sure, you're not absolutely certain that if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure you'd wake up in heaven. You don't know for sure. You don't have that confidence. You hope so. You might wish so. You might think so. Do you know something? Listen. You can know so. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Yeah, I do. In some of your lives, I know what's going on. And it may look hopeless. It may look helpless. It may look empty and vain. But you know where the hope is? Salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We celebrate Good Friday. He was buried in a tomb 3 days. He rose, resurrected from the dead on that first day of the week, that Sunday. And he did so to conquer sin's penalty and to pardon sin's condemnation so that you could know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And it doesn't come through baptism. It doesn't come through good works. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. That's why we're thankful to God, because it's a gift from Him. Not of works. You can't thank yourself because you didn't do enough of good works even to save your soul. Lest any man should boast. I would implore you, if you're sitting here today and there's something you're wrestling with, maybe there's an emptiness, maybe there's a struggle, maybe there's no peace, there's a void in your life. Could it be possible that it's because you are estranged from God and God wants to bring you unto Himself to save you, have a relationship with you, and give you a home in heaven, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you could know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens today, you are going to heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say might so, think so, hope so. By the way, if that is you, I'd love to talk to you over maybe a good turkey dinner downstairs. Or you can talk to someone else, but be sure of that. And you would have everything for which to be thankful. Let's go on. Third is, not only is thanksgiving an expression of grateful appreciation, thanksgiving is a proclamation of worshipful praise, but thanksgiving is a declaration of joyful satisfaction. You say, Pastor, how do you get joy, joyful satisfaction out of this? Look at this. Giving thanks always. Always? Yeah. This little word itself means at all times, repeatedly, without stopping, habitual. You see, by yielding to the Holy Spirit of God's control in your life, you will be thankful. You will be. If you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have a hard time even trying to be thankful. It's a habit that we form. By the way, giving thanks, the participial form, carries with it the idea of an ongoing action. Something that is repeated, something that is recurring. You see, Thanksgiving Thursday is not the only day to be thankful. For the believer in Jesus Christ, catch this for a moment. For the believer in Jesus Christ, every day is a day of thanksgiving. Now, we don't have all the feasting with it, but it is a day when we are thanking. Because why? It comes here from the heart. It is directed to God. It is a worshipful appreciation and recognition that God is in charge, God's doing things, and therefore, it leads to being identified. I want to be a thankful person. Well, God wants you to be a thankful person more than you want yourself to be. And God gives you the equipment. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And you know, most of this is attitudinal. Because He says, give thanks always. He doesn't say, just give thanks when you are experiencing good things. Give thanks when you feel like it. Give thanks when you are abundantly blessed. No, He says always. There is never a reason. There is never a time when we should not be thankful. More on that in just a moment. But you know, we live in a day, and we live among a time, or live in a time among those who are characterized by end time listing of different vices. Second Timothy chapter 3. Look at one of the characteristics. He says, this know also, last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Right there, that's the umbrella under which all these others fall. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's a characteristic of the end times. We'll jump back up to Romans. Because when they knew God, they had a familiarity with God, they didn't glorify Him as God, neither were thankful. Do you ever get around people who are unthankful? You know, typically, unthankfulness is coupled with
groaning, grumblings, criticisms, complaints, negativity, and all those things. It may be like the Eeyore syndrome. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Or the Schleprock. I appeal to another cartoon during the Pebbles and Bam Bam Hour back in the 1970s and the 80s. How many of you remember the Pebbles and Bam Bam Hour? Oh, look at this. Remember the character Schleprock? Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. Everything was bad. I don't want to be a Schleprock Christian. God doesn't want me to be a schlep. Actually, God equipped me to be an anti-Schleprock Christian. He's equipped me with everything to be thankful. You know, there's another thing about what God does. He puts into life, the Christian life, things that are beneficial to you. And even those in the medical profession or those who are statisticians come up with the understanding that even gratitude is healthy for you. Look at this. Gratitude increases happiness by 25%. Where do they get that from? Wow, that's what God is trying to do. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Gratitude improves health. Grateful people sleep better. These are all statistically proven. How often do you be thankful? How often do you feel thankful for your blessings? 28% many times a day. 33% every day. Oh, you know what, for believers? Let us move that to 100%. Yes? Because God says so. He's not asking you to do something that's impossible. He's not asking you to do something that is absolutely hard. Oh, Pastor, it's so hard to be thankful. You don't know. Well, God says it. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you see what's, he says, give thanks always. He wouldn't ask you to do something that's impossible. So let me ask you just a couple of questions before I go on. Is your appreciation coupled with a heartfelt gratitude for God, who he is, and what he does? Heart, not just words. Is your appreciation and your thanksgiving lifted up publicly to God, no matter where you are? I would not be embarrassed to take time to thank God. I met this week with a fellow pastor and we got together for a lunch. And as I learned and came from another pastor, I asked the waitress, I said, we're going to be praying for a meal. Is there anything for which we could pray for you? So I'm praying for Maureen. So before I said, let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless as we eat. I can't do anything soft. Lord! No, it wasn't like that. But you know, we should never be embarrassed or intimidated or afraid to lift our thanksgiving to God, even among those who might be unthankful. Are you habitually, continually in the practice of being thankful? And that comes with the Holy Spirit's control. So maybe the question is, am I yielding my life and my heart and my mind to the Holy Spirit's control so that thanksgiving is just coming out of me? Number two, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. There is an expectation for thanksgiving. Actually, I'm going to read one phrase in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, and then I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look at what it says. The very first thing he says, Paul writing, in everything give thanks. Back to Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. So let's start with for all things. You see, thanksgiving is a recognition of plentiful goodness. From my thanksgiving, it should be an acknowledgement, it should be a recognition that I am given plentifully. I have a lot for all things. Now, I put this up here so that you can kind of get an idea of what it means for all things. Provisions, even when you might have few or plenty. There are times when you may be, I remember my wife and I have shared this before, in seminary, things were sometimes lean. I got paid once a week, and there were times where at the end of the bills, there was little money left over. And I was not going to steal from God and take his tithes and offerings, so we put that aside. And we prayed 1 week. Because I would give Dawn cash, this is before credit cards and all those things, and she would go to the grocery store, and at that time, I don't know, it was like $40. A week's worth of groceries, $40. I can only give her like 20. Oh, Lord. But I thank you that we have $20. My mother calls me a Monday. What are you guys doing for supper? We go to mom's that night for supper and she sends leftovers home. We're at church on Wednesday. What are you guys doing tomorrow night for dinner? Got another phone call. What are you guys doing for Friday? You know how God provided? Thankful even in lean times and good times. Trials. When you thank God for your trials. I remember one time Christy broke her leg. She was about 2 years of age. Ran down the hill, and all of a sudden I heard a snap. And I thought, she must have a twig or something. I went down to pick her up. Dawn's got Joel in a front pack. He's only like a couple of months old. And I looked at Christy and I said, her leg wasn't like that before. So I picked her up and, can you find anything to be thankful about that? Thankful she's healthy enough to run. I'm thankful she didn't break both legs. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. Circumstances, jobs, people, health, relationships, senses, freedom, incidents, snow, weather, activities. You know, we are the most fickle people. It's getting close to December, and there's those who are, oh, it's getting too cold. I don't like the cold. I hate the cold. And then when it's summertime, oh, it's getting too hot. I can't stand the hot. You know, that's why Thanksgiving is a joyful recognition of all plentiful goodness. He says, it removes any conditions or restrictions. It encompasses all of life, every day of life. By the way, when that is happening, when you are thankful, now remember, to whom is thanksgiving directed? To God. That means no matter what I have, everything I have, and everything I am is traced back to God. Thank you, Lord. For all things. And it focuses our attention not upon ourselves, but upon God. Upon God. He not only says for all things, but look over now, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. This is fundamentally different than for everything. It means in connection with, or within the midst of, during. It's talking about situations and circumstances you find yourself in. And by the way, this emphasizes the general attitude during any given instance, any given circumstance, situation. Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul is writing, and look what he says. He used that very same phrase, in everything. He says, be anxious for nothing. That's the opposite of thanksgiving, by the way. The word be anxious for nothing, that verb phrase, a command that says, don't worry, stop fretting. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know how to steal your Thanksgiving? Maybe they should have another cartoon, How the Grinch Stole Thanksgiving. You want to steal Thanksgiving out of your life, out of your heart, out of your mouth, out of your mind? Worry? Fret? Be focused on yourself? Be negative? Be critical? Complain? Which is easier to do, by the way? Because we have a sin nature, it's very easy to be critical and negative and complain and be fretful and be unthankful and ungrateful. But being controlled, listen, being controlled by the Spirit of God subdues all that. And it raises up within us the appreciation for God and what He's doing and a recognition that God makes no mistakes. God's in total control. I may think it's bad, but like Joseph, when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, into Egypt, for 13 years, at the very end, when he meets his brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And you know, I think what helped Joseph, 17 years of age, sold into slavery, you know what I think helped him to maintain that right attitude? Throughout the episode of Joseph prison and Potiphar and Pharaoh and all that, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. The idea there is not that God had a special favor for Joseph, but Joseph never forgot God. Never. When you tend to be unthankful, it's because we forget God. We neglect God. My pastor back in Lebanon, I remember, I was an assistant pastor, I think it was. He was preaching on Thanksgiving. He gave us all a little bit of an assignment. He said, I would ask you to do this. In praying, would you do this? Take 5 minutes and set it aside and do nothing but thank God. 5 minutes. 300 seconds. Set your timer. Would you take that challenge? Be thankful. Focuses the attention upon the response rather than the conditions. It views God. He knows everything. Have you been thankful in every situation? Dawn and I were driving back from we were in Lancaster watching the Screwtape Letter presentation at the American Theater in Lancaster. Started at 8:20. It was over at 10 o'clock. The cars are filing out, and I'm calculating it's going to be an hour and 30 minutes at least this time of the day, not much traffic. Driving along, and we're just before the blinking traffic light, Surgeonsville, and my car made this weird jolt. I'm like, that's not good. And then I saw some of the dash lights come on one by one. And my headlights started to go real dim. Okay, Lord, just let me get through the light and pull off somewhere. And I was able to pull off into the feed store. Oh. Well, let's pray. It's only 11:40. No problem. We'll call AAA. I call AAA. We should be there in an hour. I'm doing some calculations. Okay. Then I said, Lord, I just need a policeman to stop by. Or maybe somebody, because at least Dawn can go home. Who do I call at 12:15 in the morning to come and help me with my car? I know a couple of people said, you could have called me. You could have called me. I said, yeah, I know what. I would not want to be called at 12:15. So AAA was called. And then I look at my phone. 8% battery life. I don't have a connector. Okay. And then there was a car that drove by, SUV, and they drove back. Are you okay? I said, yeah. Lady was driving. Her husband's in the other seat. We just came back from a party. Oh, Yeah, I can see. And I said, anything we can do to help? I saw the little two-year-old in the back sleeping. I said, well, I live up in Flemington. I just learned AAA can only take one of us. They'll take my car and one of us. Would you mind taking my wife back? Oh, yeah! Okay, Lord, take care of her. I'm sending her with perfect strangers. I get another note. AAA is delayed. Should be there in an hour and 45 minutes. Now it's 2 o'clock. Saturday night. Finally, a policeman comes by at 3 a.m. He said, let me see if I can expedite this. He said, yeah, they're dealing with a car up in Clinton. They can't quite work it out. He'll be here in an hour. I said, 4 in the morning. All right, sir, thank you. Meantime, my phone goes dead. I can't even see if Dawn got home safely. You know, at that moment, I could have said, all right, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, you know I got to preach in about 5 hours, and I'm not going to get any sleep. Lord, nope. Policeman, before he left, may I leave you something to read? Yeah, here's the gospel tract. Oh, what church you go to? We had the greatest time of fellowship. The AAA guy came, and he's not very happy. He wants to be home in bed. So he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, thank you for asking. I said, I'm a pastor. Where are you pastoring at? I said, right. Oh, I know that church. I said, okay. I said, here, may I leave you something to read? It's a gospel tract. Oh, by the way, when you get to my house, don't back in with your beeper signal and everything. You're going to wake up my whole neighborhood. Just set it on the side of the road. And you know, give thanks in everything. I had every human, carnal, sinful reason to be unthankful. But God turned something negative into good. I can tell you about another tow truck experience. And life is full of so many things, and sometimes we view them as bad. God may view them as good. But you know, catch this for a moment. I don't say that story to pat myself on the back, but I need to be constantly controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, emptied of myself and ready to minister at any time to people who may be unthankful and ungrateful, and just by my ministering to them could make a difference and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ so they have something really truly to be thankful of. So no matter what you're going through in your life, guess what? It could be worse. And it all boils down to this, perspective. Is my focus on me or is my focus on God? Continuing on, lastly, thanksgiving is not only a recognition of plentiful goodness, but thanksgiving is a demonstration of willful obedience. Look at what it says. Giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for you to be thankful. God's will, yeah, the idea of the will of God, it's what God desires, that which pleases Him, that which is approving to God. The way He designed it, He designed your life, He designed you to be a thankful believer in Jesus Christ. And you know, there's going to be so many things that come in your life. There's so many people. There's so many circumstances, such that is going to happen to you to tempt you to be unthankful, ungrateful, to lack appreciation. Husbands, do you really thank God? I mean, let me ask you, do you really thank God for your wife? Wives, do you really, putting this into practice, can you say, yes, Lord, I thank God for my husband. Do you thank God for your children? Children, do you thank God for your parents? Could be worse. Do you thank God for the Bible? Do you thank God for the church people? Those who are very good, those who are maybe less than desirable. But you know something? When you consider your thanksgiving for other people, other people are looking at you with thanksgiving, right? Am I living in such a way as a husband that she truly can say, I thank God for him. I thank God for those children. I thank God for this church. I thank God, on and on. It's God's will for you. So if I am not thankful, whether that's a moment in time, a situation that's happening, or a chronic condition, and I'm a cranky, ungrateful, negative Eeyore or Schleprock, I'm out of the will of God. Concerning you, by the way, Jesus Christ, where it says they're in Christ Jesus, the idea of in connection with, in the sphere of, in union with Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ was thankful? Look at a couple of passages of Scripture that are up here for you. Jesus Christ. He said, I thank you, Father. Why? You hid these things from those wise and prudent. You revealed them unto the babes. John 6, when he took the loaves and the fish, I was just reading this in my devotions this morning, the feeding of the 5,000. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he thanked God. You're going to feed them all with this? Yeah, we are. How? I don't know. Philip, you feed them. Lord, we don't have enough money to buy food for them. All right, give me what you have. Peter says, we got a little boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Great, that's good. Thank you, Father. The one that really blows my mind is just before the crucifixion, just before the betrayal of Judas Iscariot at the Lord's Supper, Jesus gave thanks for the bread representing his body on the cross, and the blood represents the new covenant. And he gave thanks. Concerning you, this is yes, for all of you who are in Thessalonica, but that includes individuals. Look at Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he echoes to the Colossians, which means it's for you and me. It's concerning you. It's not just the will of God for her or him. It's the will of God for you. Reveals a very humble, heartfelt appreciation for God's working. Demonstrating dependence upon reliance on God. Displays a denial of self and avoidance of pride. Realizing all that you have and all that you are is because of God, not yourself. We have seen many and numerous presidential proclamations. Abraham Lincoln gave this in March 30th, 1863. It was not for the nationally celebrated Thanksgiving holiday, but it was in respect to a day of prayer and fasting. Look what he writes. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and powers as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. This is just on the cusp of the Civil War. And you know, a president, we've forgotten God. Oh, I pray that you and I would remember God, be thankful to God. When you look at this message in closing, thanksgiving is an expression of grateful appreciation. It's a proclamation of worshipful praise. It's a declaration of joyful satisfaction. It's a recognition of plentiful goodness. It's a demonstration of willful obedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. And I mean that, oh God. thank you so much for life. Oh, I can go on and on, Lord, but I pray that in consideration of an application of this message today, no matter what is going on, no matter what we have and don't have, no matter what other people do or don't do, God, Father, may we be truly a thankful people always in and for everything. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and you're thinking about that, are you identified as a thankful? Yielding to the Spirit of God and being thankful? Maybe you've caught yourself being more like Eeyore or Schleprock, but you need to be in the will of God, thankful as God would have you to be thankful in everything, for everything. May I pray for you if you need to be more thankful, expressing your thanks and praise to God, focusing more on Him than on yourself or your circumstances. With an uplifted hand, Pastor, pray for me. I need this message. Not in my ears, in my heart, in my life. Here's my hand. Just lift it up, put it right back down. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and that area of your life that really, first and foremost, has to be addressed in order for you to truly be thankful is you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to have your sins forgiven, a relationship with God, a home in heaven. You're sitting here and you know that's what you really need. May I pray for you? With an uplifted hand, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior, to save my soul and give me everlasting life. That's me. Would you lift your hand? Put it right back down. Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Father, while you see what's taking place here and you see hands, you see hearts, God, I pray that you would do that great spiritual work in every heart. For those needing to be more thankful, for the one needing to be saved, others needing the assurance, Lord, thank you for what you will do. Yea, Lord, what you are doing and what you've done. Bless us, we go from this time in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close this.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and True Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.